Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you just for everything. Thank you for your beautiful, sweet presence. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank you. Thank you for beautiful men who serve us, men and women, for Pastor Louis and Natasha as they're in England. Pray for your anointing on them. Pray for divine relationships. Pray for ease of travel and joy for them. Protection for their boys at home, Father, and protection on their travels, we pray. And for Lotsolo, as he's going to minister now, may he minister with your humility, with your joy, with your excitement, with your passion. And we just want to say, Lotsolo, we open our hearts wide to receive that which you have for us today. So bless you.
Good morning, family. It's an honor and a privilege to be here and to share God's word with you. I just have one key announcement just to put out there. I heard that in 20 now, we have a seven-time PSL champion, Mamelodi Sundowns. We want to congratulate them. They said that when we greet them, whenever we see them on the streets, we must do the sign, meaning seven times. And then for the Kaizer Chiefs fan, they said that we must say hello because of all the five goals that were scored against them this past week. That is the announcement for today. A 20 announcement. It's a privilege to share God's word with you because this morning we're going to continue with our theme, Knowing God. Knowing God. And Pastor Louis last week spoke about the majestic father. And this week I will be speaking about the wise father. The wise father. And this is so key for us to understand because not only is God powerful, but he is also wise. And he longs for each one of us to draw near to him and to understand that his heart is that we may know that he is the wisest of all. No one is better than him. If we read in John chapter 1, verse 9, is where we get the Latin word omni. He's omnipotent, meaning all powerful. He's omniscient, meaning he knows everything. And he's omnipresent, meaning that he is everywhere all of the time. And so this wise father that we're going to talk about this morning, I wanted us to read some scriptures. We're going to jump from a couple of scriptures just to highlight who this God is and why does the Bible say he is so wise and why must we follow into his wisdom. And so we're going to read together. We're going to start off from Romans chapter 11, verse 33, and then they're going to all start to flow for you as we go to all along together in them. This is what it says in the NIV UK version. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, and his path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Romans 16:27 says these words, "To the only wise God," underline the word only, "to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." In Job 28, verse 20 to 28, it says these words, "Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death say, only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. Proverbs 2 verse 10 tells us, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Father, that your word is truth and your word is life. Lord, as we unpack of your word and we look into it, Father, Lord, I pray that our hearts, our spirit, our souls, Lord, they would be like a fertile soil that receives a seed from you, that will produce a fruit 30, 60, 100-fold to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message, as I've already mentioned, The Wise Father. The Wise Father. God is not just wise, he's the only wise God. Only doesn't mean maybe some, a few here and there. No, he is the only one. God is the only wise one. And so when he engages with us, he tells us first that's who he is. I'm the wisest of all gods, if there is anyone out there. I'm the wisest of any human being, wiser than anyone you think is wise. God says, I am the wisest. And so we read through scripture, God continues to show his wisdom. But as I was preparing this message, and I was going through my notes and writing down my thoughts, and I was going on and on around it, I thought, then what's the point? What is the point, God? Why must you be the all-powerful God? What does that have to do with me? If you are powerful, maybe it's good for you, Lord. What does that have to do with me, you being powerful? And now, as I was preparing about wisdom, I thought, if God is the wisest, what does that have to do with me? If he's powerful and he's wise, in Setswana, I would have normally said, "Ketsana kae mo." In Zulu, they would say, "Ngena api." Where does that put me? What does that have to do with me? If God is powerful and all-wise, that's good. But the reason why God tells us that he is powerful, the reason he tells us that he is wise, is because he longs that each one of us will come closer and see who we really should be. You see, we cannot draw any other wisdom or power anywhere other than from God, because God is our creator. God is our author, the author of life himself. He's the one who says, come, I want to show you who you should be, how you should be, the way you are supposed to live. He invites each one of us and he says, come, because if I'm powerful and my power is what you see and what you understand, you will know who you should be, your identity, your purpose, your reason for existence will be fulfilled. And so when we seek wisdom and we say, this is a wise father, he shows us his wisdom because he wants us to draw near and ask of him wisdom. To ask of him understanding, knowledge. He longs that each one of us will not just go on and float around and wonder, what is it that we're supposed to do? What is the next step of my life? How am I supposed to do this? Is this the right house? Is this the right partner? Is this the right business deal? God, I don't know, but you are wise. And I can ask of you and you will tell me. God longs more than anything that we may come to him for power, strength, for wisdom, understanding, for direction. I even dare to say that God is jealous when you seek wisdom elsewhere. When you seek power elsewhere, he's jealous because all those things where you are seeking power, they are not your author. God is your author. He formed you and he knows how you are wired. The problem is, sometimes we go and we ask help from others. And God says, Mara, tell me, can a BMW fix a Mercedes-Benz, Bato? We cannot go anywhere else other than where we come from. From the author himself. That's why we are asked to go and draw power and wisdom. And so this morning, I would like to highlight the five key points. The five key points. The first one is this. Whenever we come to God for wisdom and we start to apply God's wisdom, when we are applying God's wisdom, he opens a door for us to the best opportunities. He opens the door for us to the best decisions. He says, I have something for you, and this thing you will get when you ask of me. James chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, ask of me wisdom, and I will give it to you without finding fault. God says that when you come to him and you open a door, and decisions are needed to be made, you will make the best decisions. Perhaps you're asking, sitting there, what kinds of decisions? Decisions when it comes to your faith. When things are shaking in your faith. Decisions when it comes to your family. Decisions when it comes to your finances. God wants to open those opportunities. When it comes to your friendship circle. What does God say about the friends that you keep? What is he saying about the decisions that you make and the thoughts that you have in your mind? Are they aligned with him? When it comes to an opportunity where you are supposed to ask God for direction and you say, God, my health, I don't know what to do anymore. Are you asking him for those decisions? Are you asking him or are you coming up and you say, no, I know what to do. I've got it all figured out. You see, the Bible says that we are to come to God for wisdom. We must ask him for the wisdom that we need. And so every single time when we seek God for his wisdom, he makes it available for us. But we lack independence. We like to have control over things. And we miss out on engaging with the Lord. We miss out on finding what he has to say about things. And yet God says, come, I invite all of you to make the right decisions. To make the right kind of decisions. Not only does applying God's wisdom open the door to decisions, but also God's wisdom opens the door to the best opportunities. To the best opportunities. You know, sometimes in our lives, when we feel like God is gonna do something, we want to help him. We say, no, God, you know what? I think I have an idea how this should be. I'm gonna sort this out. I think if I do this and I do that, then things are gonna get better. But there's a problem. Sometimes when we pursue God and we want his wisdom and we don't get his wisdom, we feel like, yeah, but you should have given me the wisdom I need, or I should have done it this way and I didn't do it that way, and you miss God. And you know what? Whenever we ask God for wisdom, we will hardly ever find doors that we can't open. We can't open these doors. Now we end up kicking doors to open for us. And maybe that's the door God never opened for you. And that's why he allows it to be closed. And then we kick doors. I can't kick this one. It's not mine. And therefore we kick doors. Because we're saying, God, why is it that you can't open this opportunity for me? I want this job specifically. And we miss out on God. But when we ask God for wisdom, the best opportunities will always open for us. They will always open for us. And so God desires that you come and you ask him of this wisdom. And then you say, God, I need your wisdom. I need to know what do I need to do when things are like this. And that we do not miss out on him. Because of that, it's so crucial for us to step in and say, God, I need you. Give me your wisdom. For the right opportunity, give me your wisdom. I want to thank our gathering team. Whenever I ask for props and things, they always come through all the time. So appreciative of all of them and the designer team. They've made this possible for me to have these two treasure boxes. And these two treasure boxes, the Bible says that in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, that we must seek wisdom like a treasure. We must seek God's wisdom like a treasure. Can you find treasure anywhere but home? You can't just walk around and pick up gold coins. You have to really seek it out. And so when it says that we are to seek God's wisdom like this treasure, meaning that God is inviting us to seek him and what he's got to say. God, what do you say about this deal? God, what do you say about this person? Lord, what do you say about my approach? Can you hear the difference? Because then you are submitting yourself under the highest form of wisdom. And so I got these two treasure boxes. And these two treasure boxes, the first one represents the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world, all of us, we have some wisdom, some cleverness somewhere and understanding somewhere. But the wisdom of this world, it's just like having marshmallows. It's nice. It's sweet. Delicious. The wisdom of this world is just like having some packet of chips. It's nice. It's delicious. But the Bible says that the wisdom of God is like seeking out treasure. It's like seeking out treasure. And so I got some of these. My daughter told me that I must wear this properly. The wisdom of God, when we put it on us, we become beautiful. We become handsome. It's like having this gold and everybody asking, where did you buy that from? Where did you get it from? Because unlike the wisdom of the world that comes and goes, the wisdom of God is always there for us. Always there for us. And it's beautiful, and it's like this gold and this amazing stuff that we have on and everything else. Ooh. And now, when we have this wisdom, I've made an agreement with my daughter, I'll leave the pearls on and the tiara on. The whole thing is this. Whenever we have this wisdom, we start to make different changes in our lives. We start to see things change in our lives. And therefore, applying God's wisdom brings us to the best change. Applying God's wisdom opens a door to the best changes in our lives. And we start to see these changes take place in our lives. Because we have sought the Lord's wisdom. I don't know what wisdom you are working with, but I can tell you, none of it comes close to God's wisdom. God desires that you and I can reach out to him. He's the wise father. He says, come, I have the wisdom for you. I've got the opportunity for you. And walk in that opportunity. Open the door for wisdom to come in. And so the applying of wisdom in God helps all of us to make the best decisions, to have the greatest opportunities, but also it helps all of us to see the change that we need in our lives. And that is the change in our attitude. That is the change in our behavior. That is the change we see in the outcomes of making those decisions. Because God doesn't just desire that things just go well and we are happy and pleased with what we own or our achievements, but God wants to change things from the inside out. God wants to change us from the inside out. And His wisdom affords us that. His wisdom affords us to be changed from the inside out. And this is key for us, to see God doing those things for us. Amen. There was a man that had some stuff on his hands. He was buying something at the shop. He was at the shop where if you are the 100th customer of the day, the till, they punch in what you are buying, if the till goes, it means that everything that you've bought will be given to you for free. And so this man had about four things with him on the queue, but behind him there was a lady pushing a huge trolley. The lady had food, she had meat, she had nappies, she had washing, handy-andies, and the trolley was bulging with all these things. Stuff was about to fall off. And she was behind this man. And so when it was the opportunity for this man to pay for his things, he got there and he paid them. And they said, sir, it will be 119 rands for your things. And then the till went. And that was like, wow, all my stuff will be paid for. And they said to him, sir, you are our 100th customer of today. Congratulations, well done, sir. And he asked, for real? And he turned around to this woman behind him and he says, honey, did you hear what she just said? And this lady didn't know this man, obviously. And then she made 1 + 1 = 2. And she said, baby, baby. I heard what she said. I'm so grateful, wow. And they start to hug and they are excited. And all those things that she was pushing in the trolley were all paid for. I just went through that door and I hear some Barcelona saying, integrity. And I want to say this. Isn't it what Jesus did for us also? When we didn't deserve it at all. And he paid a price for us. And he came through and he says, I will do it on their behalf. And you see, when it comes to wisdom, the same thing happens. When we ask God of his wisdom, he gives it to us without finding fault. He draws us and he says, come, I have far more for you. I desire that you would have far more than what you can expect. or require of me, but I will give it to you because you chose to ask him, not anyone else. God desires that things can change in our lives, inside out. And so there's a door of opportunity, there's a door of change, but the fourth one, God opens a door for us through his wisdom, and that is the door of growth. That is the door of growth. And that growth comes in our lives because we allow him to change us. We allow him to make us more like Jesus. God wants to make us more like Jesus, to have a Christ-likeness, to come and ask of him. And as we do that, something changes, and we start to reflect Jesus more. And we start to draw closer to him, and we say, God, come, help us to make the best decisions. Help us to be drawn near to you, to be like you, Lord. And as we do that, things change in our lives. As we do that, we start to experience permanent wisdom from him. And so he desires that to happen for us. The fifth point, applying God's wisdom opens a door to glorifying God. Our lives must glorify God. Our lives can't just be for ourselves. We don't live for self, we live for him. And so sometimes we live lives and we think this is how things should be, this is how they could have been, but God says it has never been about you. You see, God takes us and he invites us on a journey with him, because deep down inside, we learn from the word that God is a father who longs for a family. He wants a family. We are in the family of God because God desires us to connect with him and to be real with him. And so we are called by God to draw near to him like this, to ask him to help us to make the best decisions, to help us to see the right opportunities, to help us to go and walk with him, and as we do that, we are changed. To draw us to grow in him, to draw us to glorify him. And that is God's heart for all of us, to know him and to be led by him. I would like to close off with this sentence. Without God's wisdom, we are just clever fools. Because true wisdom only comes from him. And his heart is to draw you close, to say, come, I want you to understand my heart for you. I want you to know me. I want you to have this treasure, that we may not ever miss the opportunity to ask and inquire of the Lord, to seek his wisdom, and to be led by him in our decision making. Amen. Amen. I invite you to please stand and let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you this morning. I thank you, Father Lord, that you are calling all of us to seek your wisdom, to walk through the doors that you have put for us, Lord. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we will not compromise and settle for less than what you have for us. I ask, Lord Jesus, that for all of us, if we have been doing things our own way and never inquiring of you, Lord, we repent this morning. And we say, Lord, help us that every time we are facing big things, Lord, and even the small things, that we may ask of you, Lord, what do you say? Because you are the one who desires for us to seek your wisdom. Thank you, Father, Lord, that in all things you change, Lord, us from the inside out. You lead us, Lord, and we don't even deserve, and you still give us so much more. And we thank you, Father, Lord, that you are for us. I thank you, Father, Lord, that for all of us this morning, we will seek your wisdom from the wise Father in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you all. Thank you so much.
Just a huge thank you to Pastor Letsolo. He makes me smile every time, and I learn from him every time. So today we go home and we celebrate a wise God, and we know that we trade our wisdom for his wisdom, and we just rejoice in this incredible God that we have. So with that, have a fantastic Sunday and a really brilliant week, I pray. Amen.